Shivarandini, September 14th, Bhaktitapa Vivek.
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotra Sita Sri Shriman, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad Astotra Sita Sri Shriman, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga, our disciplic succession, and all the assembled devotees. Thanks. So we're discussing the last chapter of Sri Bhakti Tatva Vivek by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Sri Bhakti Tatva Vivek, as you know, is an elucidation or illumination on and simplification of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which was written in Sanskrit and therefore not easily available to the common masses like us. Then Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur wrote a very beautiful and elaborate commentary explaining each part of Srila Rupa Goswami's statements, but still that was in Sanskrit. So Srila Gurudev translated that into Hindi and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bindu, into Hindi, and now we have that in English. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also simplified everything by his English rendition in simple language, the explanation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, specifically the verse which incorporates really the whole of the book. Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadya navritam anukulyena krishna anusilanam bhakti rutamam. Pure bhakti is the incessant flow of activities performed by the body, mind, words, and spiritual sentiments of the heart for the exclusive purpose of giving pleasure to Krishna, and which is devoid of any other desire than to please Krishna, and which is also not covered by fruitive activities and the cultivation of impersonal knowledge. Now in this fourth chapter, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is discussing the qualification for entering into bhakti. In the previous pages, he was empathizing with us when we get discouraged by thinking, I'm following all the limbs of bhakti. I'm chanting, I'm hearing, I'm reading, I'm trying to remember, I'm taking prasadam, I go to the programs, and still I'm not getting anywhere, so maybe I should quit. But that person doesn't know, that discouraged person doesn't know what is the qualification. Does he have the qualification or not for his activities to yield the fruit of bhakti. And because in any endeavor, there'll be no success without some qualification. Even if I win the lottery and I didn't do anything, it's because in my previous life or earlier in this life, I did some pious activity that qualified me for winning the lottery. So there's always qualification. So the qualification for bhakti is faith. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur proceeds in explaining what is faith. He says that faith in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, faith in the words of scripture. If we have faith in my own intelligence, I'm serving Krishna with my creative intelligence. Or, I'm serving Krishna, and for that, Krishna is going to give me a nice house. Or I'm serving Krishna, but I'm also engaged in other activities. And I have faith in the other activities more than I have faith in my bhakti activities. So these are all other kinds of faith. So even if I'm doing the activities of bhakti, the outer activities, if faith in bhakti, that only bhakti can make me happy, if that's not there, then the process is very rigorous and I may not see the fruits. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells a story, which our Prabhupada also told. And then, under Prabhupada's direction, that was made into a comic strip and put in one of the earliest Back to Godhead magazines back in the 60s. That there was a wedding party, and they paid some professional boat people to row the boat, and they were going on their honeymoon or to the groom's house, and they went to sleep at night, and the rowers were rowing all night long. The next morning they thought, wow, we're here. But then when they looked on the shore, they saw that they were in the same place. They thought, what happened? You didn't row? Yes, we rowed. So upon investigation, they saw that they forgot to pick up the anchor. So the anchor is attachment to sense gratification, or faith that sense gratification, it might be sense gratification of going to the movies, or it may be the sense gratification of me thinking and wanting other people to think and enjoying the fact that other people think that I'm the best at some particular service to, quote-unquote, to Krishna. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining and elaborating in different ways that everything depends on our faith in the words of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Now, faith is of two kinds. There's two kinds of faith. One is faith in Vaidhi Bhakti, and that kind of faith will give me advancement in Vaidhi Bhakti. The other kind of faith is faith in Raghunuga Bhakti, and that kind of faith will give me the fruits of practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. The two kinds of faith, one is called Shastra Vishvashamayi Shraddha. Shastra means the scriptures. Vishvash means belief. So that belief, or that rather, that faith, Shraddha, which is full with full Mayi, or consisting of Mayi, belief in the Shastra. Shastra Vishvash. Mayi, Shraddha, and the English goes backwards. Faith, which consists of belief in Shastra. What does belief in Shastra mean? It means that Shastra says, if you don't do this, you'll go to hell. Shastra says, you must do this because it's your duty. Just as the hand has to serve the body, so you're also part and parcel of Krishna, you have to serve Krishna. if the hand wants to serve itself or serve the other hand, nothing will happen. Not nothing, something will happen. Both hands will die along with the body. But if the hand serves the body, then the other hand also benefits. So this is Shastra Vishvashamayi Shraddha. Then the other kind of Shraddha, which yields Raghunuga Bhakti, is called Lobhamayi Shraddha. That is, if we go backwards in the words, Lobhamayi Shraddha, that is Shraddha, faith, which consists of lobe or greed, to follow the follow in the footsteps of specific residents of Vrindavan who have rag, that is full absorption and an unquenchable thirst to attain the object of that absorption. Raga Atmika, he has rag in his Atma, that attachment. There's rag, a perverted reflection of rag in this material world, which is rag for society, friendship, and love. But then the real, that's perverted, but the real rag, the original rag, the substantive rag, is rag in the Atma for Krishna and his association and service. So bhakti, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, and this is one of the verses that's essential to learn for this course, those of you who are participating in the course. Yatra ragānu vāptatva pravṛtir upajāyate śāśenin śāśenaiva śastrasya savatvaidi bhaktir uchyate. I'll read it again. Yatra ragānu vāptatva pravṛtir upajāyate śāśenaiva śastrasya savaidi bhaktiruchyate. Once again. Yatra ragānu vāptatva pravṛtir upajāyate śāśenaiva śastrasya savaidi bhaktiruchyate. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the meaning is that bhakti is the living entity's natural inclination and the inseparable occupation of his intrinsic nature. That is, the intrinsic nature of our soul that is inseparable from us is service to Krishna. Our natural inclination and our intrinsic nature are both non-different from our soul, and that is bhakti. Anything else that we do has nothing to do with our soul. It's like I'm feeding somebody else. If I spend my life putting food in somebody else, meanwhile I'm practically dead and then I die. So that's like doing anything else besides bhakti, because it has nothing to do with us. So in the conditioned state, the living entity is opposed to Krishna and becomes attached to worldly enjoyment as presented by the show of the illusory energy. Did you ever go to a mall, you know, like one of these really modern big malls that have three stories and a transparent elevator, and it has all these lights and colors, and you feel like you're in a one of those kids theme park, but there's one particular place, not like a haunted place, but like a phantasmagoria. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in one of his songs to Gurudev, when by your mercy, get this one, when by your mercy will the tumultuous phantasmagoria of material existence cease echoing in my ears? How's that one? I'll repeat that. When, by your mercy, will the tumultuous phantasmagoria of material existence cease to echo in my ears. Very nice prayer. So the jiva is fully satisfied only when, by some good fortune, his intrinsic rag or loving attachment for Krishna is awakened. But when that rag or attachment for material objects is still visible in our hearts, in the hearts of the living entity, and at the same time we're engaged in the activities of bhakti, this is called Vaidhi Bhakti. So now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so there's two kinds of faith, one in Vaidhi and one in Raganuga. And for both Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga, the qualification is the same, but it's same and as faith, but it's different kinds of faith. One is faith in the words of Shastra, based on Shastric injunctions, and the other one, the other faith, is based on greed. And that greed, both faith, both types of faith, comes from association with pure devotees. Otherwise, neither faith could arise. But Raganuga Bhakti faith, that is Lobha Mayi Shraddha, comes from hearing from the pure devotee about the sweet Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna and understanding from him how to develop to Raganuga Bhakti, certain ways of chanting, certain ways of reading, certain things to read, certain things to remember while chanting, certain activities to give up. So in the stage of rag, there's a loving attachment that naturally develops. Just as one's eyes are excited to see a beautiful form, the similar inclination of the devotee towards Krishna, that excitement, is called rag. And that comes from following a personality who has rag, like Madhya Yasoda or Subal Saka or Sridham, or in the case if one's intrinsic nature of his soul is to be a Manjari, then he follows Rupa Manjari under the guidance of his guru, who is a follower of Rupa Manjari. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes another verse, obviously again from Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, about Ragatmika Bhakti. The Brijbasi sentiments for Krishna are the most exalted and exceptional examples of Ragatmika Bhakti. Such sentiments cannot be seen anywhere other than in Vraj. The fortunate soul who develops the greed to attain sentiments for Krishna, such as those displayed by the Brijbasis, is the rightful candidate for Raganuga Bhakti. Despite having heard about the sweetness of such sentiments, one cannot enter into them until he becomes greedy for them. Greedy means just like there's cake, carob cake with squiggly icing on the top. And when you see it, you don't consider whether it's going to be good or bad for me, or whether it belongs to me or anybody else. You have greed for it. Greed is unconditional, doesn't depend on qualification. That is, it depends on faith, but it doesn't depend on the qualification of is it my cake or not. The sole cause of the qualification for the practice of Raganuga Bhakti is this spiritual greed, not the careful study of scriptures or the skillful use of knowledge, which is the type of faith required for Vaidhi Bhakti. So then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's three levels, there's lots of levels, but they're broken easily into, for our easy understanding, into three kinds of faith. One is called neophyte faith, one is called intermediate faith, and one is called topmost, first class faith. And he's explaining the three types of faith. Another way to say this lobamayi shraddha, which means going backwards, faith that consists of lower greed, is called bhava madhurya lobamayi shraddha. That would be the full name. Bhava madhurya means in the mood of conjugal service. So again, going backwards, the shraddha or faith that consists of greed for the mood of conjugal service. Service to the conjugal couple, Radha and Krishna, with a leaning towards Srimati Radhika. So the three types of persons who have the three different types of faith. One is called Uttama Adhikari in Vaidhi Bhakti. One is called Madhyama Adhikari in Vaidhi Bhakti. And one is called Kanista Adhikari in Vaidhi Bhakti. And also there are three levels of qualifications for the various levels of faith or greed in Raganuga Bhakti, which is also called Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanista. So I'll read Srila Rupa Goswami's definitions of these three types of adhikari. Adhikari means qualification. He has the topmost qualification, means the most faith, intermediate faith, and beginning faith. The beginning faith is very bendable. Like suppose you're really enthusiastic, you came to Vrindavan, you went to Kartik, you're really enthusiastic, you love the classes, yeah, I'm going to worship Krishna, and then you go home and you meet some Mayavadis, and they, with all their very skillful word jugglery, they convince you that ultimately God is impersonal. Or Gurudev is not really merciful. Or the only thing you'll find in Vrindavan is diseases and pigs. So that person, and if the person is swayed by that, his faith is very komal, or very soft and pliable, bendable, breakable. So the uttam, one who is conversant in the scriptures, expert in all kinds of logic, and possesses unwavering determination, his faith is firm. Now the intermediate, one who's not so expert in understanding scriptures, but still nobody can convince him otherwise. Well, I can't defeat the person's argument, but I know they're wrong. I have full faith that they're wrong. I'm not the slightest bit affected. That's Madhyama Adhikari. Plus, he's very fortunate because he has a great taste to chant. It's not, okay, Hare Krishna, one of these 16 rounds is going to be over, but he just loves chanting. And Kanista is the novice, who has little expertise both in the scripture and logic, and his faith is delicate and immature. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is concluding, because now we're coming to the towards the end of the chapter, that there's no condition for bhakti, no material condition. Like if somebody's a great scholar and he knows all the verses and he can give great lectures, it doesn't mean that he has more eligibility for bhakti than somebody who doesn't even know how to read. If one is materially intelligent, he can read. If one has no material intelligence, in fact he's illiterate, he can hear. So there's no material qualification. He could be a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, Sudra, a Brahmachari, Sannyasi, householder, and Vanaprastha. It doesn't matter what a lady, a man, doesn't matter what he is, because that material thing has nothing to do with the faith, the amount of faith that he might have. If one has faith in the injunctions of scriptures and the instructions of Guru and Shastra, that's his qualification. So now, as with every chapter, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes with one series of verses by Visva Vaishnava Das. So we'll conclude with that, but just one point in between is that the reason that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed his second chapter, which is Bhakti Abhas, the reflection or semblance of bhakti. Now he's saying why he did that second chapter. Not saying now, he's reiterating that just in case you think that if you're weeping and your hairs are standing on end and you're swooning, don't think that means you have bhakti, because those symptoms can also be in bhakti abhas, either pretentiously or even not consciously pretentiously, but just happy that you're getting relief from material miseries or you're going to become God or something like that. And if you're very offensive, then he gives the way that the faith can go away. He says, we should try to attain Uttama Adhikari. We shouldn't be satisfied with any prior stage. Until one comes to the platform, in fact, of Uttama Adhikari, then one's bhakti is always understood to be a semblance, a shadow or a reflection. And the faith means to realize the superiority of bhakti over all other means for perfection and happiness. Okay, so that quote from Vishwa Vaishnava Das, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur translates, when Shraddha, that is based on faith or the injunctions of scriptures, or on greed to follow the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhakta, appears in the heart, a person attains the qualification for either kinds of that bhakti. It's not that faith is not caused by renunciation. It's not caused by doing my duties good in Varnashram. It's not caused by becoming a scholar. It's not that we shouldn't want to learn. We should want to learn so that we can preach to ourselves and we can help others. But if we can't, it's not having tried and we can't. It doesn't mean we can't have the faith. The sole cause for faith is the association of sadhus, pure devotees, who have deep love for Krishna's pastimes. Then that faith gradually progresses from kanistha to majjhima to uttama. Adhikari means qualification. And until that uttama, or topmost qualification, arises, one, which is when it becomes natural, without trying, just starts coming natural, one has to be very careful, because the illusory energy will continuously try to pull us down. Like if we have bad association means those who are attached to sense pleasure. It's okay to associate with them, to give them your guru's association, or if you have to go to work, but not to take their association. Or if one disrespects pure devotees, or if one commits any kind of offense to him, then that faith dries up at the root, and then we lose our qualification. We want the qualification because it ultimately bears the fruit of divine love and rapture. Are there any questions or comments? Loud. Can you come closer so that the mic can get you, because it has to be heard by a lot of people.
I wish to know what is the nature of a person who has lobha mai shraddha. if he thinks that he's, or he disregards his, if he's qualified or not. If he is great, then the seeker considers if he's qualified or not. What if a person has Lobha Moha Shraddha? If he thinks that he's not qualified, then it would contradict his greed. If he thinks that he's not qualified, then it would be contradictory to his greed.
That's a good question. I think Radha Mohan Prabhu's question is, if a person has Lobha Moha Shraddha in either Kanistha Majjhima or Uttama, but if he thinks he's not qualified, will that act against his Lobha Moha Shraddha? It depends on the next sentence. If he thinks I'm not qualified, so therefore I shouldn't do it, then it will definitely hurt. If he thinks I'm not qualified but I don't care, I want it, then it won't affect him adversely. I once asked Gurudev, this was way back in 1993. I met him in 92. In 93, I asked him, it was in his room in Vrindavan, you're trying to help us achieve this Raganuga Bhakti, which can't even be achieved, or Ragatmika Bhakti, what to speak, which can't even be achieved by Lakshmi and Brahma, how can I, who's like way down in the pits, expect to achieve it? So Gurudev said, this question shows that you have no greed. And he often gave the example of a dog. A dog is not allowed into the sweet shop, you can imagine. If you let him in, what would happen? So he stands outside and he waits for the people to come outside, because if he went in, the owner would take a stick. So when the people go outside, they're chewing on their rasagulas or anything else, glubjamins, and then they, when they finish, they throw the wrappers on the ground. And there's always something left, some juice, some little crumbs, and the dog immediately jumps on it. He doesn't think, am I qualified for the sweet or not? And at the same time, he tries to guard it so that no other dogs or birds or anybody else will get it. So he doesn't care if he's qualified or not, and he'll make sure that he situates himself in such a way that it can't be taken from him. Another example is a guy who's black, ugly, toothless, lame, and poor, sees a procession where some princess is on the procession, and she's standing there all gorgeous, and he's thinking, wow, I want to marry her. He's not thinking, who am I, some ugly, creepy guy. He's just thinking. So that greed doesn't depend on what he really is. It can't be checked by conditions. Any last question?
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering what the name of that song is that you were quoting the words, when by your mercy will the tumultuous phantasmagoria cease to echo in my ears?
It's part of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's book called Sharanagati. And if it's right over there. If you can get the book, I'll show you. Very, very beautiful songs. There are four songs to Gurudev in there. And we sing one of those songs regularly. Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya. And the other one is also in our songbook. Gurudev Bodha Kripa Kori Godavana Maje Diachego Drumastana. So those are two, but the other two songs to Gurudev we're not so familiar with. And one of those songs is that he's asking Guru for the symptoms of pure bhakti. He wants He wants his hairs to stand on end, and when will my complexion pallor? When will I weep? When will I call out in a loud voice without caring about outsiders? When all these symptoms come to me, as I'm traveling in the material body, then I'll know I've got your mercy. Not, oh, by Gurudev's mercy, I got the most beautiful house in the world, or I have the best family in the world. But the real mercy comes when these symptoms come. So anyway, in the first verse, it says, the tumultuous pandemonium, oh, I said phantasmagoria, but actually it's pandemonium, which is a better word. When will that day be mine, with a steady mind, sitting in a secluded place, will I sing the name of Sri Krishna? The tumultuous pandemonium of worldly existence will no longer echo in my ears, and the diseases of the body will remain far away. Even if the body is diseased, I won't feel it. Okay, we'll end there, and that is the conclusion of our study of Sri Bhakti Tattva Vivek by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai, Gopremanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Panchakalpa Chirubhya.